Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. The new beginning is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we are here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Amen, and we do thank all of you who have tuned in and those who are going to tune in. We'd like to remind you that everything that is has been recorded, and you can go to the archives if you would like to share with any of the messages to one of your friends or family, wherever the case may be, you can go to the archive. The archives, you would go into Blog Talk Radio, and then once you go into Blog Talk Radio, you would type in, "We Can Begin Again," and you can pull up any of the archives. This evening we have Bishop Larry D. Palmer from Israel Total Life Ministries of Waldorf, Maryland, and his topic is pride. After we have prayer, we're going to move on over into Maryland, and we're going to get out of the way and let the Lord do as he says so with Bishop Palmer. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we worship and we praise you, Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all things claimed and unclaimed. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our finances. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And, Father, we also ask for healing, Heavenly Father, for Paul Robinson, James Hobbs, Diane Hobbs, Wendell Wilborn, Katrina Holloway, Billy Dickerson, Stuart Hawthorne. Father, we also ask that you would bless those, Heavenly Father, the families who are in the midst of this storm. There are those, Heavenly Father, who have asked for prayer, Margaret Washington for healing, Anthony Lakeisha, Mario, and Alita for safe harboring from the storms, Father. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would bless all others, Heavenly Father, that are in the path of this storm. We pray for safety in the name of Jesus. Father, we claim it, we declare it, we decree it, Heavenly Father, because we know that you are God who cannot fail. So, Father, we just lift everything up in the name of cheer, in the name of Jesus. Father, we come against the spirit of fear, Heavenly Father, and we come with power and love and a fine, sound mind in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Bishop Palmer, are you there?
I am. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to move on out of the way, and we're turning it on over to you, my brother.
Amen. Thank you so very much, Elder Clay. It's wonderful to be back on the blog radio again, as well with Dr. Suzanne and those who are listening this evening. It's great to have prayer and to know that we are praying for those who are in harm's way on the storm, with others brewing right behind it, with Florence and others. And I pray that the storm will turn. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can even ask, think, or imagine. We know that. So we first want to make sure that we pray for others that's less fortunate than we and others that are right now, as we listen at this radio station, are worried about if they're going to have homes when they return from the evacuation and things to eat and school and all kind of things. So we thank God for tonight, and we bless the Lord for being able to have these moments to talk one with another. And bless everyone on the line. We thank God for you. Tonight's subject is something that we all have seen, and some of us have had to deal with. And the fact of the matter is, we cannot deal with it unless we have the power of the Lord resting within us. And that subject is pride. I'm going to give you a short synopsis of what pride is and how we work pride out and how we get through it and how we have to face it. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 15, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me, and please feel free to interject anytime something that you don't understand or something that you need more clarity in. Certainly we want to make sure that you are clear on what we're speaking to tonight. The Bible also declares and decrees, and all you get an understanding. So we pray that you will understand everything that's said tonight and cast into your spirit in the name of Jesus. So if you would turn again with me to the first epistle of John, chapter 2, beginning at verse 15. And it reads as thus: "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That is a powerful, powerful, powerful pericope of what we're going to look at tonight. The pride of life, the thing that keeps us from moving forward, and sometimes it invades our life without us even knowing it. Let me further clarify that. If we were to define pride by itself, we know that pride oftentimes is a deep feeling or pleasure or a satisfaction that you have, and it's usually something that derives from the accomplishments that you have made, something that you strive or esteem to, and then you reach that goal, you've made it, but it has nothing to do with the Lord. And when it doesn't, it's hard for us to turn loose things that we have grabbed a hold to that seem to line up with our success story. But pride, it causes us to be irrational. Pride causes us to corrupt our sense of personal value. Pride causes us to lose our moral standards, and pride causes us to push God aside and insert the worldly standards. So the Bible again decrees, if you love the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. That's what the Bible is saying. So we pray tonight that if we have anything that is holding us back, holding us from excelling in the body of Christ, especially pride, that God will loose it tonight. Galatians 5 is where I'm going now. It tells us to walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then it starts to explain in 22, what fruit is produced from that. Oftentimes, you can tell what fruit you have or who you are or the Christ. We can claim to be Christians and have the name of the Lord, but we don't carry the nature of Christ within us. So we want to make sure, as the world sees us, as the world understands who we are in Christ Jesus, that they will see Christ living in us, and the pride of life will be eliminated from us, the thing that holds us captive. Sometimes we won't even hug one another because of the pride of life that rests with us in church. I'm not talking about worldly folks now. I'm talking about We get a certain gift from God, and we get and we try to make it our own. I have known people, maybe you have not, the airways, but I have known people who seem to be very holy, and those who lead prayer services, and those who speak in tongues. But what good is it to speak in tongues when you can't speak to each other?
Mm.
That side of life. Let me go through a few things tonight as it's recorded in the Bible. And I'm going to go back to the beginning. I like going back to where we start our journey from. Sometimes we lose where we came from, and we get where we are, and we stay there and believe that we were always this way. But I want to go back to the book of Genesis. I want to go back to the beginning. And it's in Genesis 37. So tonight, as we explain pride, I'm just going to talk about Joseph for a few minutes with you. I'm going to be working from chapters 47 up through 40. 38 I'm going to eliminate because it doesn't work with Joseph. It talks about Tamar and Judah. So you will hear me refer to chapter 37 from time to time just to talk about pride. And what I did with pride, I actually took the acrostic of the word, and broke it down to certain things God does with us and God does through us to make sure that we don't have the pride of life attached to us. One of the great things that I learned from the book of Genesis is that Joseph had every reason to have pride attached to his life, but he was hold any offense against his brother. If we look at chapter 37, some portions of it, and you can go down to verse 4 if you're following there biblically, we'll find that Joseph and his brothers saw that his father loved Joseph more than all his brethren. His brethren began to hate Joseph because of the love of the father. And here we go. If we were to look at the P in the spelling of pride, we find now that God selects you for a position. He puts you in a position and holds you there, and he protects you in that position. Regardless of what the world thinks about you, you have been placed in that position by the mighty hand of God. Now we know that Joseph was not the elder brother, and in those traditional times, the elder brother seems to get everything or the first helping of all things. Even now, the eldest brother in our culture believes that he has a right to things because he is the eldest. Joseph heard from God. Joseph knew that his dream came from the Lord. It came directly, it didn't come from my father. It came directly from the Lord, and he spoke his mind. Can you imagine this young teenage boy telling his older brothers that they were one day going to bow before him and one day going to be under his rule? And they would look at him and say, "What in the world are you talking about? We already hate you because daddy favors you more. Now you're going to rule over us." My God. I'm telling you that sometimes pride gets in our way, but God says, "Let me work through it." So he puts Joseph in a position, and he holds Joseph in that position. Say, "Joseph, I am with you. This dream that you have, that your brothers are going to hate, they're going to hate you even the more, but I am indeed with you." So hold tight to your dream. Something that we need to know right now. We need to hold, if God is placing you in a position, you need to learn how to hold tight to you. We give up too easily. We let the world curb our thoughts. We let the world curb our plans. We let the world snatch away what God has given to us. And we need to go back and take back our right with God and hold our position. In my past life, I worked as an air traffic controller, and sometimes as excited as the pilots would get, we would tell the pilot, "Hold your position." You know, so stay right there. And when people move from where they're positioned by the authority that tells them to stay there, they cause others to get in harm's way. You can imagine if you are flying with a pilot, there's a hothead pilot that won't do what the air traffic controller says to do. Cause a crash. So you pray when you get on an airplane, and you pray pretty much with blind faith because you don't even know if you got a pilot or not. It may be on remote or robotic as far as you know, but you put that faith that someone up in the seat of authority is going to get me to my destination. Mm-hmm. Amen. So we find that let me get back to the P. I don't want to chase out. The P portion is God will position you as he did Joseph, but in that position, you're going to run across some threats. You're going to run across some issues. You're going to run across some problems. And God says, just hold that position because there are certain levels that I'm going to get you through this thing called pride. We can't let our pride move us. Just a Sunday ago, I had one of the parishioners here at my church to say, "Well, I just couldn't take it. I had an issue with such and such person, and I could." I said, "You know, your pride kept you from hearing the word of God, and I guarantee you, the word of God was just for you. But the pride of life moved you, so you couldn't hear what God had to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God take us out of our position, which is a good segue to the letter R in the word pride. God will position you, and God will put you in a place where you start to know that can't nobody do this but God. Yes, the people hate me to be around me, but I have a mandate from God. And if you know it's God, you stay right there where God has positioned you. You know why? Because the next letter is R, and it says he is going to reposition you. God knows where you are, and he knows who is around you. And if to protect you, God says, I will alter your position. You'll find, even though it seemed like it wasn't in favor with Joseph, he had to alter Joseph's position. I'm still in chapter 37. If you slide your finger down to 14, he said, go, and I will pray thee and see whether it's well with thy brethren and well with the flock, and bring me a word again. So he sent him out and to Hebron. He sent him out to check on his brothers in everywhere. So God now says, I got Joseph in position, but now I have to reposition him, even though I know, the Lord is speaking, I know that he is going to his brothers, those who don't like him. Be careful who you turn away from, even your enemies. Be mindful who you turn away from. Sometimes our pride will cause us not to go and hug or greet our brother or sister in Christ. Why can't they come greet me? Why can't they say hello to me? But God doesn't have his hand on them. He has his hand on you. Start breaking down some of that pride that you have. Your position got to be held, and then God will reposition you. But when he repositions you, make sure you go where he tells you to go. Amen. So now Joseph now is being repositioned by the power of God. His father is sending him out to check on the ones that what? Hate him. Oh, my God. In the church, it's just like this. God will say, I'm putting you right in the midst of those who don't like you, and you know it. So why? Because you have favor. When he positions you, it's favor on your life, just like it was with Joseph. But we can't see it because we're looking at the opposition that God has. But God says, I got to move you from here to move you to another place. So God repositioned Joseph, and Joseph came out. He was all happy, checking on the ones who hate him. You ever go to church, you just got your spirit up in the air, all things well. You ready to go in and praise the Lord, and you run across somebody that's got that sour face on and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you know, you did all of those type things. God puts you in that position, and then he repositions you for the ministry that he has in store for you down the road, but we don't know that. So we have to follow what God has told us to do and reposition ourselves where God places us. So now, not only does he position us, he repositions us. And plus, if God is moving you, God is watching you. If God is moving you, God is watching you. Let me go to the third. After he positions you, he sees where you are, you have the mandate of God, he repositions you with that same anointing to be able to deal with, listen, to be able to deal with the opposition that God knows you're going to be faced with. He went out with his brothers didn't like him, daddy made you a coat, we don't like who you are, here it is what we're going to do now, God, but this, remember, this is not the adversary. Remember, this is not the adversary. This is the hand of God that's taking you through. Why? Because he's going to build you up, not the devil.
Wow, he's that's just, good.
Yeah.
That's good right there.
Oh, yeah.
In order to strengthen you, if you have any folks on the line in the airways, in order for you to strengthen you have to go through something. If it's anyone that lifts weight or go through any kind of conditioning process, you know that you have to go through a certain amount of reps that have a certain amount of weight attached to them. In order for your body to get built up, you have to increase the amount of weight, and oftentimes you may have to increase the number of reps you do in order to build you up. That is not to tear you down. Why are you putting more weight on me? It's not to tear you down. It's to build you up, because you have the potential not to just lift 30 pounds, 40 pounds, 45 pounds, but you have the potential to lift twice that much weight. But you won't do it, and you don't know it until he puts you in that position, and then he says, okay, you're comfortable at 50 pounds. I have to reposition you to 75 pounds if that's your weight. Or for those are really muscle mass, then I have to put 275 on or 300 on, whatever the case may be. If you notice, when God does it and repositions you, and the weight lift is on the line. Here's the thing: when I used to lift weights when I played ball years ago, and you'd be cranking 250 and whatever, and the guy that's spotting you would take two fingers. You're trying to get the weights up. You'd take two fingers and lift the weight up, and you would push it up on the rack. Now, you know, and I know, and everybody on this phone knows, if I'm struggling with two hands, with all the muscle mass that God has given me to put 275 up, this fella cannot take two fingers and push that weight up.
Right. That's right.
That's encouragement. And now all you need sometimes is a little boost as you go through your positioning and your repositioning with God. So right now, you're not finished with the pride lesson yet, because you're only at letter R.
Mm-hmm.
Letter I, a transition, is that he's going to in-position you, not the devil, not the adversary, but he's going to in-position you. Guess what? David, not only from his brothers not liking him, David, not only from his brothers throwing him in the pit, David was sold into slavery, sold to the Ishmaelites, and he was sold. Can you imagine the love of your brothers? Can you imagine this? And man, there's an unwelcome demand that's being placed on my life. Joseph had a reason. Joseph had a reason to be mad. Joseph had reason to hate his brothers as much as they hated him. Joseph had a reason, as we would think, to break away from the mandate that he had on his life, because he would say, in a position that it was, and I'm repositioned, this thing is not working for me now. I got to be positioned, repositioned, and now you're going to tell me that you're going to in-position me by putting me in a slave camp or selling me to someone? But all along, if you know the story, it was the hand and the plan of God.
Wow.
So now I'm being in position. He goes with the Ishmaelites, and they sell him into Potiphar. Seemed like he said, "Oh, I'm getting my swag back. I'm getting stuff back. Look what they did to me, and look where I am now. Potiphar loves me." But he didn't know that he was in an in-position home. Potiphar gave him everything. Do this, but just don't touch my wife. Don't go into my wife. And as soon as he thought he had it going on, the wife now, with the spirit she had, caused him to grow more. But the wife caused him to grow more because she looked upon him with eyes of lust. Recall when I said the lust of the flesh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it leads to pride. So she looked at him with eyes of lust, and she wanted to go into him, or him to have an affair with her. So David, not only now in my in position mode, I got to check my integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, integrity is doing the right thing, even though nobody is around to see you. I got it.
Wow. That's good, ain't it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the door is shut. The office is closed. I'm over here. I'm out in Las Vegas. Was in Las Vegas, stayed in Las Vegas and all of that. But your integrity tells you not to do it through the Spirit of the Lord. stay with me just a minute. I won't transfer to the Holy Spirit. I'm just talking about the integrity of a man right now. So Joseph mm-hmm. had an integrity that I will not and I will not go against a man that has done so much for me. You ever been in a place where you just did something for somebody more and more and seemed like the more you did for them, the less they appreciated what you did?
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you are in the same boat with Joseph. God sometimes uses that person to imposition where you are so you know that you're not doing the work. This is really God doing the work, because sometimes we believe that we're doing the work. Let me just go to the family just for a moment. You know, we got family issues now that folks are asking other family members, hey, I need a little help. I'm in a little bind. I just need just a little bit of help to get over this hump that I'm in. And then you give them a little bit of help. Most of the time that little bit of help is a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
And you give them a little bit of help just to get them over the hump for a little while. You give them a little bit of money, and guess what? That's not enough. They need more money. And so they come back for more money. But they forget the law of reciprocity. They don't give anything back. And they always look for you for what? More. More, more, more. Guess what's happening to you? God is training you. He's training you.
Mm-hmm.
He's training you. And he's using that other vessel to help train you, the law of the Lord. I'm telling you, our families will help train us better than anybody about being safe. Help me somebody. They will help you be safe. They will help you to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Help somebody. You know, so if they're leading you to prayer, it can't be the devil.
Or
the devil don't want you.
Amen.
But this mission mode that Joseph found himself in caused him to go to prison. Potiphar came back and his wife lied on Joseph. Y'all know the story. And Joseph, Potiphar didn't want to do it. I know Potiphar knew that his wife was somewhat promiscuous. I don't think this was the first time, though it doesn't say it in the Bible, but I believe that she had another eye out there, and Potiphar knew that she wasn't all of that. So David now has to go to prison. And David goes to prison. David has to think, Lord, have mercy, Jesus, you gave me this vision. You put me in a position, you know, among my brothers. I was way down the pack. Then, Lord, you repositioned me. I thought that was going to help me some, because my father went out to talk to my brother, sent me out to talk to my brother. And you repositioned me and seemed like now, God, I'm going to be this in position thing where I now have to go into prison. Oh, my God, what am I mean, where am I going? Seemed like at that point many of us would give up and say, hey, forget this church. You know, I've been in position, I've been repositioned, I'm in a position. Just forget this church stuff because it's not working for me. Amen. And some of us get to that, you know, after we've been put in a pit for a little while, after the people come against us, the brothers, the one that would love us for a little while, We get kind of sold out for a little while, and we go through this, and it's, man, this Christ thing is really not for me. And they break off, and they say, I'm done. Now, you got church folk. Let me say this. Church folks, when they're in position, the first thing church folks do when they're in position, they will tell you that their season is up here.
Yeah, that's so true.
I was only here for a season, and now my season is up, and the Lord, listen, and the Lord is leading me to go somewhere else. The majority of the time, the Lord is not leading you to go anywhere. The Lord is wanting, trying, and willing to change your position. He has repositioned you. Now he's trying to get your attention by impositioning you so you will love him more. So stay right there, even though it seems to hurt. If God is for you, can be against you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just believe that the Lord says, I will never leave you nor what? Forsake you. Because God is for you. Amen. And so when you get these impulses, don't turn on God. Run closer to him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, somebody. So God says, if you just stay right there, hold it right there, I got something for you. But now Joseph is in prison. Guess what happens? He has promise, and then the people get there, they promise them things, and they forget about it. That's as common as it is right now with us, because people forget about us. People forget what you did for them. People forget how you loved them. People forget how you prayed for them. People forget how you helped them to come out. People forget so easily what they promised you. Marriages and things are broken up right now because they forgot their vows. They forgot what I promised. They forgot all these things. When you talk about them and talk to it about it, pride pops up. I am not going to be the first one to say I'm sorry. Oh, Lord Jesus. I am not going to be the one to say it's my fault. But if you know the truth, if you know the rules of God, where God says, I positioned you here, I repositioned you here, and now you have a little imposition that you will grow a little better, oh, my God. We kind of fall out of line at this point. So listen to this closely. Many of us never make it past the eye. Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
Let me let you catch that. Many of us never make it past the eye. That's you.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Yes, sir. So the imposition portion is where God really deals. He starts to deal with your spirit. He starts to deal with the inner man. And guess what? He transfers us then out of imposition to check on your disposition. That's the D. Joseph is now in prison. God says, I got to check on my man's disposition. What is he going to do now? Do you ever notice in scriptural terms when people begin to holler that God deals in the ridiculous?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He deals in the ridiculous. So something that looked like it cannot be, it cannot happen, it won't come to pass. You better believe God is right up in there. Pretty much got you right where he wants you. If you can pass the test and put pride aside. The disposition has to do with your temperament while you're going through. It has to do with your love for the Lord while you're going through. It has to do with your makeup while you're going through the storm of life. It has to do whether I'm going to stay right here with God, whether I'm going to hold on to the precious hand of God while you are yet going through. See, it's easy to do when you're coming out or when you're out of the storm. I can talk about it all day long, but when you're in the midst of the storm, will you still bless me?
Mm.
Will you still bless the Lord at all times? Even though they got me locked down, tied up, and shackled, will I still give God the praise? Even though I cannot pay my light bill, will I still give God the praise? Even though they snatch my car, can I still give God the praise for the great things he's done? See, the adversary knows how to break you down by the things that you intend and love. The lust of the flesh. I got to have this. So many people among us that move out of the will of God and get things out of the will of God that really God doesn't want them to have. God says, when I take it down, I want to reiterate this again. This is not the hand of the enemy. This is not the hand of the enemy. It seems like it's the work of the adversary, but he's not that smart. He's cunning, but he's not that smart. So God says, I got to build a champion. So in order for me to build a champion, I got to take him through my basic training.
Mm-hmm.
Not the adversary. I got to take him through my. So now that he's in prison, I got to check his disposition. He had a baker and a butler that promised, oh, man, when we get out, oh, we're going to take care of you. You solved this dream for us and all this. It was years before they thought and sold to the king. After they had been released, that they thought about Joseph in prison, after Joseph had interpreted. So they checked your temperament, they checked your mindset, and trust me, we are going to go through the same thing, the same process Joseph went through. We're going to be tempted of some things, and we're going to have to check our disposition once the world or once we are locked down. Amen. But all the time, you will read in the Bible that the Lord, listen, that the Lord was with him. Even in prison, the Lord was with Joseph. Amen. Favor was coming upon him everywhere he went. Even though it seems to be in the midst of the storm, favor was upon his life. Therefore, you know, if you really just search God enough, I know I'm coming out. I might be in now, I might be down now, but God is certainly going to bring me out. Anybody been deep in anything on this line?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody been where you thought you wasn't going to come out on this line?
My God.
I'm talking about the church folks. I'm talking about the people of God that God says, I got to check your disposition. I got to see where you are. I got to see if you can still praise me. You just can't wake up and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it, and then go out and cuss somebody out. You can't live that kind of life. Expect God to say, I'm checking your disposition. Guess what? Many of us are in storms, and we stay in storms because we are stuck in the in position mode.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. God tries to check your disposition. You revert back to, well, I would do this, but look what you did. God is bringing you out. Now I want to check your disposition. Yes, you hurt me. You impositioned me. God is checking your disposition, but you run back to your imposition. So guess what? You got to get through the letter D.
Wow.
You got to get through the letter D before God can work with you. So he checks your imposition, he checks your disposition. Say, if your disposition is set for God and you're ready to go, then I can use you. But if your disposition is not right before God, it can't be right before man.
Amen.
So God says, I will disposition you. In the time of his disposition, you can imagine. Yeah. Is it going to happen for me this year? No. Didn't happen this year. Is my breakthrough coming next year? No, it didn't come next year. You see? Mm-hmm. And we try. We even try to see them along with the praise thing, you know. But God is a right now God. God, you know, it's going to come on time. But in the time of God, see, your breakthrough is dependent upon your disposition with God.
Mm-hmm. That's good, Bishop.
Your breakthrough is dependent upon your, not nobody else's. It's not the bishops. It's dependent upon your break. You can have, I can put up 40 elders to come up and lay hands on you at the altar. But if your disposition is not right with God, it's not going to do anything for you. You can go to James 5, 13 through 18. If any of you sick among you going through, blah, blah. But if your disposition is not right before God, I can pull you down and make you slicker than a country pig, and ain't nothing going to happen for you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Your relationship with God has to be right. I cannot live a life for you. Many mistakes. When you are anointed by the elders of the church, there's something that God gives those elders, called upon the elders of the church. There's a transfer from God to the elders. Transfer that out to you. And then you have to give God the praise back so that triangle will work. The Trinity of God will be complete.
Amen.
Are you with me? So it comes down from God, comes to the elders, goes through you, and then you praise God. Look, when the four friends of the lame man that was on the mat were going to the synagogue where Jesus was preaching, and the church folk were stepped in the building, and they saw someone in need, but they wouldn't let them in. They wouldn't even step aside to let them come in. So it caused these four men to go up on the roof because they had the faith to believe, if I could just get my friend to Jesus. Oh, my God, that's a disposition. They had the right disposition. They had the right temperament. They had the right makeup. I know when I'm in trouble, ain't no need me going over here to my, listen, nothing wrong with prayer partners. I'm not saying that. But sometimes your prayer partner can keep you from going to Jesus. Listen to me. When you really need to go to Jesus. So I want to get them in the midst of the master. Whatever it takes, I'll pull back the mud. I'll pull back the sheaves on the roof. But I know Jesus is here. And I need to get my friend to Jesus. I mean, when they're hurting and going through, the disposition is just not right. What I need to do is help me to help them in their disposition mode, get them in the faith of Jesus. Amen. That's the only help I know. Amen. So Joseph now sitting in prison year after year after year. But the Bible says the Lord was still with him. How mercy God. The Lord was still. Finally, at the right time, when God says, I have checked your disposition year after year after year, I'm going to allow favor to find your address.
Amen.
Let me put it in today's terms. Let me put it in today's terms. God promises that grace and mercy shall follow us what?
All the days,
of our lives.
All the days of our lives. Is it not true?
It's true.
Yes. He did not say that trouble will come.
He did
not say trouble would not come. I said the grace and mercy will follow you all the days of your life so that you will be able to deal with trouble when it comes. Job 14:1 says, man born of a woman is but a few days and full trouble. Trouble will find your address. If you are with God, grace and mercy will help you get through it.
Amen.
Help you to get through that trouble. Once your disposition is right with God, ooh, Lord, I'm preaching myself happy. Once,
yes,
once
you
your
are.
Right with God, God
you
says,
come on, Bishop.
Favor to your address. You got grace and mercy following you all the days of your life. Now favor is going to come. Favor takes off, runs to your address, and says, man, I'm here. Favor is here. And that's when you get that rejoicing, that breakthrough come through. And oftentimes that breakthrough is so powerful. When you know you receive your breakthrough, and some people call it slain in the spirit, but when your breakthrough comes through, it is so powerful that you're not able to stand up anymore because the power of God will bring you to your knees. You know what that's a sign of when you fall prostrate before God? That's the humility of your spirit working within you. That's your disposition. Amen. So now Joseph's disposition is right, and God says, I got to take you to the E. You have been positioned. You have passed the test of being really positioned. I have allowed you to be in position. I'm looking at your disposition, and now it comes to the letter E, which is your exposition. It's a demonstration.
Wow.
It is a demonstration of who you are. Let me say it again. It's a demonstration of who you are. It's not for show, but people ought to be able to see that you love the Lord.
Amen.
Your character, by how you
carry.
Huh?
Yes.
Amen. By how you walk, by how you talk, by the influence that you have, by the fruit that you carry. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. They ought to be able to see something in you. You must be a Christian. You must love the Lord. I was sitting in church. I was trying to listen to the word of God, and I was hearing it, but my mind, the Lord had me watching you. And I watched this position. because I know you've been through. I know you've been in position. I know what you've been through. But now today I watched your disposition, which showed me your exposition, your demonstration of not only talk, but your walk with Christ Jesus.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's good.
See, it comes to a point, like Joseph, he was exposed. You're exposing me now. Mm-hmm. Look, I come through, and my dream come through, and I told the king what the dream was, and the king put me in charge, just like Potiphar had done before, just like God had promised me over my brothers. Now I'm exposed not only to the people, but I'm exposed to the world. You see, when we love the Lord, we tell people we love the Lord, we go immediately under a microscope.
Yeah.
Because people are watching to see if your love for the Lord is real. Hello,
real.
Somebody.
Hallelujah.
Amen. They wanted to see if you're going to bless your food in a restaurant without putting your hands over your eyes with embarrassment. They want to see, you know, if you really love the Lord, if you can talk about the Lord with them. They want to see and understand that you are exposed before God. I love the Lord. Ain't no shame in my game. Hallelujah. I can tell them that I love them. Wherever I go, I can tell people that I love the Lord. Not only can I tell them, I can demonstrate it in my love for you. Amen.
Yeah.
That's when the Lord says you are able now. You got to figure out how is it that some people can really, I mean really, turn the other cheek when they have been talked about, mistreated, abused and scorned. How is it they can't do it with the flesh, the spirit? And the spirit exposed will let people know that you really love the Lord. Hello,
yes.
Somebody. So now Joseph says, man, now you expose me. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Because you passed the test. And Pharaoh took off his ring. Look at the demonstration of God. Here go the favor of God. Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures and fine linen and put gold chain about his neck. Know why? Because he passed the test.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus.
He went through all the storm, and God told him, wherever you go, I will never what? Leave you nor forsake
you. Thank you.
Not get past the I stage. When I'm in position, I got to keep loving God in spite of. Amen.
Absolutely. Amen.
It's not that men will bow before you, but the grace of God is upon you. Verse 43 of that same chapter 40, he said, and he made him ride in a second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And the people made him rule over the land of Egypt. From what? He didn't have their DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. From what? He wasn't in line to rule nothing from the Pharaoh. Pharaoh probably already had his succession plan, as they normally did, in place. But God says, I deal in the ridiculous. Joseph comes. He's not even like them. He's not even the Egyptian type. Amen. But God says, I can make you rule over me. I will put the devil under your feet.
Amen.
If you expose me and walk before me, circumspectly before me, as a man or a woman of God.
Amen.
But you got to pass. So let me reiterate as I close. Pride is something that will take us through, but it will bring us out. Don't let pride block you from the gifts that God has. He's going to position you, reposition you, imposition you, disposition you. He will check it out, and then finally, he will expose you to the world as death I cow. You know why I know it so well? It's because he did his only begotten son.
All right. That's it.
Oh, my God. He went through the perils of life. And then when he went through to expose him, he said, this is my son in whom I am pleased, my God.
Mm.
I am well pleased. I'm proud of this one. This is it. Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
So you think of from now you think it is going through. I'm going through something. Don't take the pride of life so negative. The pride of life with people who have that pride, and many saints of God, I'm not talking about the world here, I'm talking about the saints of God. Many saints of God got that pride. That pride that works on them. But I pray that you say, God just got you in a position right now, honey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Yes.
He's just repositioning you right now, baby. You know, you're going through this imposition because God is going to check you out. Pretty soon, he's going to check your disposition. And if your disposition stays right, he'll expose you to the world as his father. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And he went through the fire and came out like pure gold.
Amen.
Look at
not
the
even,
shine of his faith in Christ.
But
this
I thank
good.
God again so much. I know my time is winding up, but I thank God so much for being on the blog tonight, Elder Clay and Dr. Suzanne, again, for inviting me. I pray for the people of God here tonight. Pray for those who are in harm's way with Hurricane Flores and those who dwell among us that are still struggling with the pride of life and the lust of the flesh. It is a separator from God. So I pray that these acrostic letters you will remember and apply them to your life and apply them and help others to say, hey, you're not hurt, you're not dead, you're not out yet. You're just going through something. But God is going to bring you out. So all you got to do is stay there and pass the test. I know it's been 2 years. It don't look like God is showing up. He's right there because the favor of God is right with you. He said in his words, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He will be with us to the ends of the earth and the ends of the age. I believe it, and I pray that you can receive it. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I just want to say, if I may, you know, Bishop, when you were talking about all these things that we've gone through and we're going through, and, you know, so many times, people, and I have even said it myself, but you've given me a different look to look at this thing. Because we'll say quickly, oh, this is the devil, this is the devil. You know, God ain't doing this. Mm. You know what? God sets us up so he can mold us and strengthen us.
Hallelujah. Yep.
Our life, and not just our life, but the life of someone else.
Right.
Because it's a chain reaction.
Praise the Lord.
After we've learned all that we've learned, when it seems like it's the dark day.
Mm-hmm.
And I read something the other day. I just want to say this. I was reading in my Daily Bread, and there was this woman that was talking about, her husband said that she was in her prayer time. And her husband said when she came out of the prayer time, what she said to him is, I think God wants us not to forget in the light what we're learning in the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when we go through the trials and tribulation, it seems like and hell all is just coming at us, and it's a dark place, but we're learning something. We're learning something. We can take it and learn from whatever we're going through. We should be remembering it in the light, and it will take us on.
I have really, truly enjoyed tonight. The message was for me. It was for me. I've been through so much tribulations, and I put it, I didn't think that God was repositioning me.
Amen.
And that I had to get through the period of discouragement. And that wasn't from the devil. That was from God who sought me.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed your message tremendously. Praise. You're blessed of the Lord.
Amen.
I agree. I'm there with you.
Elder Clay, this is my friend, Elder Sharon Jackson, who I asked her to come on to listen to the bishop, to listen to the...
Yes.
And I'm
good word, Dad.
Amen.
Good word, Dad. Good word.
Excellent. We miss you, Bishop. You got to come back. You got to come back, sir.
Blame Elder Clay. That's my friend.
Yes. Amen. That's my friend, too. Okay, Elder Clay. We're plugging it.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I have a question.
Amen.
I love you all.
Bishop, can I get a copy of your transcript, your manuscript?
Let me tell you this. Let me just leave with this. This is a caption for you all.
Amen.
When you run across people that need the power of God among you, if you don't know, don't pretend.
Amen.
Power lies.
Amen.
So
that's
anything
very...
that you don't know, don't pretend. It's more powerful.
Amen.
Not...
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I love you all so much. God bless you. Thank you so much, Elder Clay, again for having me on.
I love you too.
God bless you.
That was good.
Thank you.
Next Wednesday. Please join us next Wednesday. Amen. Powerful word. God bless you.
Thank you.
We love you to God.
Thank you. That was beautiful. I'm so glad you
in a crowded room,
was that what I need?
Cornered by the questions in my mind, it's so hard to understand how a life that I had planned stole my joy and left me far behind. Though all I had lost it seems from the shadow of a dream that used to be. I can look beyond the sky, deep into the Father's eyes, and see that there is hope for one like me. I can begin for a while. I can reach out to you.
That's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. God loves us just where we are. We can't say, well, you know what, Lord, I'm trying to get right. God knows where we are, and he loves us just where we are. See, because God looks at our heart. He's not looking at our conditions. He looks at our heart. And that's why he loves you so much, because he looks at your heart. He knows your heart. He knows that you're a good person. He knows that. And that's why I said you're going to be okay.